In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1995, the legislature of the state of Texas finally relented and allowed the lottery to begin in the state. Many were excited about the ability to play lottery regularly in their state. As the first big prizes began to roll out, lines formed to purchase tickets, and everyday conversation was peppered with how much money was to be won that week. During that time, I worked in an office environment when I interacted with a lot of people every day. When the prize for the lottery reached many millions of dollars, I was often asked, "Have you bought your lottery tickets yet? Better do that now before the lines get too long." My reply was always the same: no. One day, finally, somebody asked me if I ever bought lottery tickets. The reply was the same: no. "Why not?" was the next question. That person was probably prepared with a notion of what my answer would be, but they were not prepared for the real answer. "I am afraid of what would happen if I won," was my reply. The other person then went on with all of the things one could buy, places one could go, and of course, you would never have to work again. Life would be wonderful, and you would never have to worry. What is there not to love about this? I steeled myself, looked that person directly in the eye, and began my list of thoughts. Take a real look at the lottery winners after that first glow in the papers. Things do not go well for any of them. All of that money changes the attitudes of your family and those around you. Everybody wants some of that money. They treat you differently. It causes strife in marriage and among your children. People let loose ends without work, and they have no purpose and sense of worth. Within 5 years, most of them do not have any of the money left. Their friends are long gone, and their family relationships are in shreds. So, I do not want sudden, undeserved wealth. I am quite content with the way things are right now. The person I was talking to shook their head. They would not be like that, was their reply. They would be happy. The Old Testament speaks about not wanting to be too rich or too poor. If one is either of these extremes, it is much more difficult for them to relate to God or His creation in the way He designed. If they are very poor, they are often resentful due to their deprivation. If they are too wealthy, they do not need anyone for anything because they can buy everything they want. In our reading for today, Luke relates a story of an event when Jesus is speaking to a crowd, followed by the parable he tells of the rich fool. While each story may seem independent, they are actually very interrelated. It is important for us to remember today that in the time of Jesus, wealth was a sign of a favor from God. If you were wealthy, then you must be righteous because God rewarded you with wealth. If you were poor, then you must have some terrible things that offend God going on in your life. Therefore, prosperity was an outward sign of your relationship with the Lord. It was the measure those around you used to determine your righteousness and importance. Jesus turns that notion on its head every chance he gets. Notice first the man who approaches him from the crowd and asks him to become involved in the settlement of his father's inheritance. At that time, the oldest brother was to handle disbursement of the estate and to get a double portion. Evidently, The older brother was not dispersing the proceeds, or the younger brother was not happy with his portion. So he appeals to Jesus to judge the matter. Jesus refuses to become involved, admonishes him about power and the corruption of greed, and concludes with the parable of the rich fool. There are several things that are notable about the rich fool. When his harvest is much larger than he anticipates, he plans to build more barns to store it. His idea is to keep it all, so he will not have to work anymore. He will be able to have a life of leisure, doing only what he wants. All of his thoughts are centered on himself. Where is the notion of thankfulness for the gifts from God that are included in that bounteous harvest? Where is the offering to God? Where are the thoughts of those around him who assisted with that harvest, or those who are in need around him? The rich man has moved completely away from any relationship with God or his fellow man. He believes he actually created his own wealth and is free to pursue an empty life of enjoying what that wealth will bring. Jesus is reminding us through this parable that we will reap the rewards we sow. If we seek out the treasure of wealth, our hearts are tied up in that pursuit and not in what God calls us to. Our reward will be from our pursuit, and if it is wealth, we will die in that pursuit and leave that wealth to someone else. No doubt, someone like that man in the first part of our lesson, who will argue with his brother over his portion, so he too can pursue the idle enjoyment of treasure not earned. Followers of God are those who do as God asks them to do, not those with possessions. Those in an active relationship with the Lord are known by their actions. They love others and reach out to those in need around them. Jesus is trying to change their perspectives to understand we are as we do, not as we have. As humans, we seem to forget as good things happen to be thankful to the God who sent us those blessings, as well as his lesson that we are stewards of the blessings we are given. One day, we too will be called to surrender our souls. What will you want that judgment to look like? For we earn that reward every day as we pursue our daily goals in life. Jesus reminds us that our relationship with the Lord and our brothers and sisters is what we should be pursuing. God is the creator and sustainer of all that we see. Everything we have is a gift from him. We will take nothing with us when we receive that final summons. God has loaned it to us for a time, and as we join him in the afterlife, someone else will receive what we enjoy now. We are recalled to remember that and to be thankful, to share with those around us, and to love the Lord with all of our soul and all of our might. Amen.